Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Elizabeth Peak, who writes a column for The Hill and a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment on the markets and the economy in recovery for the United States. It's an uneven recovery. I learned from The Economist, for example, the countries that are doing best and will do best have a combination of vaccine richness, lots of doubly vaccinated citizens, and restrictions that remain commonsensical. Those will do well over the next year. Liz, through all of the bumps of these last days of will they tighten, is there inflation, is there reflation, the markets in New York, the broader markets, not just the Dow and not just the FANGs, but the bigger market, the 500, have held up, have performed. Is it detached from reality or is it looking to 2022? I can't tell, Liz. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, we had a pretty awful week last week. The market sold off as there was this ongoing conversation about the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve actually did step up and hint that they would be raising interest rates sooner than expected, which, frankly, I think was too little too late. I think they should have said that, and frankly, also, they should have cut back on their bond buying program, which is inexcusable to me that they're still buying $120 billion worth of bonds, including things like mortgage-backed bonds, when the housing market is so incredibly tight and home prices are so high because demand is so strong that people can't find houses to buy. So I think that's a real mistake. But in any case, the markets were pretty pummeled by that last week, and yesterday they made up a good portion of it. So you're correct. Investors seem pretty nonchalant, I think is the word. But I think one reason for that is that a lot of work has been done about what is it that really drives stock prices. And the bottom line is it's profits. And so far, there is no wavering from the idea that this year is going to be huge for profit growth for S&P companies. And next year also looks to be a very, very strong year. In the past, even though generally talk of tightening interest rates, raising interest rates does occasion a setback in the markets, overriding that, many people feel will be the ongoing growth in the economy and growth in corporate profits. I think the difference, and one of the economists I follow mentioned this yesterday, is very rarely do you have the Fed signaling 2 years in advance when they're going to raise interest rates. So, no one's quite sure how to interpret that. Do you move now because of that, or do you assume that the corporate profit tide is strong enough to lift all boats? I think most people are coming down thinking that the latter is the best course.
Bloomberg is reporting, as you just did, Liz, housing market gone berserk, that's in quotes, stirs unease over investors' clout. Subhead, U.S. existing home sales sales fell for a fourth straight month because you can't find anything to buy. But this, Liz, Blackstone bets $6 billion on U.S. suburban home rentals. So we're moving into investment class. Does this connect to a headline that Bloomberg links? Williams says Fed's rates lift off, still way off in the future. So the Fed is seeing this housing market. They're seeing the chasing of these higher and higher prices, but they're still reluctant to raise rates. Is a taper just as good as raising rates and the sensitivity of the market?
Well, I think eventually they're going to taper. I've called for this before the end of the year. I just think the Fed's balance sheet is up $4 trillion year over year. And some of my colleagues say, well, you can't double count. You can't talk about $3 trillion fiscal deficits and $4 trillion more in monetary stimulus as though they're two separate things. But a little bit you can, because if you were just if the federal government was spending so much more money, $3 trillion more than it was taking in, it has to borrow the money somewhere. And it's either going to go to the private sector or they will simply print the money. And that's kind of where we are now. So it seems to me that that the Fed is making a mistake. Also, by the way, the ECB balance sheet is also up $3 or $4 trillion. So, it, you know, in a sort of the simplest terms, if you just imagine inflation being too much money chasing too few goods, having $8 trillion of excess cash flooding the economy and all its various aspects over the past year, it's kind of hard to imagine why prices would not go up. We also have some issues with supply chains and recalcitrant labor returning, et cetera, that have made it worse. But I think almost inevitably there would have been some increase in prices to show for the billions and trillions and trillions of dollars the federal government is spending and the fact that the Fed is pumping money out to do it.
Labor. I read in the news that Nantucket Island has a severe shortage of labor. Now I read that on Nantucket you're drafting eighth graders to serve ice cream. There's such a shortage. And the ice cream stores are unapologetic about the fact that they're drafting middle schoolers. Now, maybe Nantucket is isolated, but I don't think so, Liz. There's a shortage of labor everywhere I go in Connecticut. Everywhere. Every store has help wanted signs in the front.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? Clearly, there's no end at the demand for labor. We know the jolts. The job opening numbers from last month talked about 9.3 million, million jobs being available. Demand is there. So the question is, John, why aren't people coming back to work? And I do think there are two very distinct different reasons. One is, and Republicans have talked about this, it's become a political talking point, which is unfortunate because it really should just be a common sense talking point. Clearly, if you are paying people more than they can earn at a job, they are not going to go to work. And that's what's happening. I think it's 19 states where a family of four with two kids accessing all the benefits that have come out of the COVID relief packages can earn $100,000. Why on earth is anyone going to go back to work if that is the alternative? I do think it's a real problem. It's going to be less of a problem even beginning right now because a large number of Republican-led states have ended these $300 benefits, extra benefits, and already job searches online in those states show it's having an impact on people's willingness to get a job. That was just a stupid thing, and the federal government should have been on top of it, but in any event, it's not forever, but right now it certainly is an issue. The second thing, which I really think people, including the Fed, have missed, is that we've had this gigantic increase, $24-25 trillion year over year in consumer net worth. Why? Because home prices have gone up and stock prices have gone up. And though people on the left always talk about how that's just a very few Americans that are impacted by that, that is really just completely wrong. People who have IRAs, there's tens of millions of those people. People who have homes, you know, the numbers are enormous. Percentage of the population have a home. They've seen that home price increase and know that there's a very hot market. They can sell it. So people are feeling flush. And a lot of – remember that we have an enormous demographic bump here where boomers, people over 60, I guess that is, 65 – were thought likely to retire 3 or 4 years ago, and they didn't. Well, they didn't because the economy and the stock markets and everything else didn't make it so easy for them to do that. Now, that's changed, and people are a lot wealthier, particularly in that boomer category. And I think the Dallas Fed's number is something like 2.7 million people are thought to have retired over the past year. Well, you know, those people could come back into the job market if, heaven forbid, we have a real market crash or if inflation becomes such an issue that people on fixed incomes need to augment their fixed incomes by going back to work. We could have that happen. But as it is right now, there's just been, I think, a profound shrinkage of the workforce. And unless something that turns that around, we are going to see this wage price increase spiral. And that is when inflation really becomes a threat. I hope it doesn't, because it's a horrible tax on everybody, particularly seniors on fixed incomes, and also people at the lowest end of the labor or income scale. But I really do think there's a threat of that. And all these stories about companies paying up wages, again, largely at the low end of the income spectrum, but not entirely, and paying signing bonuses for minimum wage jobs, et cetera, you know, I think you just have to be concerned that this is going to push prices higher.
We read in the Financial Times that Steelcase, the global headquarters in Grand Rapids, Michigan, a major employer for that part of the world, has hired pipe bands and blues groups and gives barbecues to convince the 1,400 members of the headquarters staff to come back to work. Liz, I read this story in Europe as well. The financial centers are not filling quickly, despite the competition, with people to come back to work. There's a hesitation, maybe a reluctance, maybe people are going to change their lives, but these office buildings might be remaining empty or a half empty a lot longer than we can predict. And that is going to also increase the pressure on companies to pay more or spend more on remote workers.
Yeah. It's an interesting, there was an article also about how business travel really hasn't picked up very much. And again, I'm not surprised by that. Look, the one group that's really pushing employees to come back to work is the big investment banks, because it is an apprenticeship business, really. I mean, you hire a lot of young people, you train them with senior people looking over their shoulder and them looking over senior people's shoulder for a summer, decide who's good, who can stay. It's a real winnowing out process. That process was totally stymied, obviously, last year. And we are talking tens of thousands of people here. This is not unimportant to New York City, even though the financial business has shrunk as a percentage of New York's activities. It's still very important to all those skyscrapers you're talking about. I must say, John, I was sort of struck by an article also. Tech companies tend to be more lenient, as you would imagine, because they, you know, understand and actually propose the idea that you can work remotely. I was interested that Google is pressing people to come back to the office and finding very resistant workers. Those workers are saying 5 days a week, not even close, 4, no, 3, maybe, but we don't really like coming to work. It's possible also we have a generation of workers that's kind of spoiled and have, you know, basically are pressuring their employers to kind of do exactly what they want. So the jury is out on this great reopening and what it means for office workers. Right now, it's not going very well, particularly in New York.
I'm speaking with Elizabeth Peake, who writes a column for The Hill, a column for Fox News, and as much on Fox Business. We're going to turn to the politics of global taxation when we come back. You will recall that at the G7, the richest nations were speaking of evening out the tax bite so that there is no advantage to going here or there to pay taxes. Well, there might be objections from the places that are most competitive for corporate taxes. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabe Sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.